It's in Acts chapter number 14. And I'll read it in verse number 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. They committed them unto the Lord in whom they had believed. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And when men come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, is we commit them into His hands. He is going to save us. He is going to keep us going. He is going to bear fruit in us. And if He doesn't help us, then we don't have any help. It's because there is nothing that we can do ourselves. It's the book of John in chapter number 15. They commended them unto the Lord. The apostle Paul had been stoned, and he had been left as dead. And he's a traveling preacher, he's saying, I'm entrusting you into the Lord's hands, not into the pastors. They ordained pastors, but they entrusted the people into the Lord's hands. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. And the Lord Jesus, He makes this statement in the book of John in chapter 15 and verse number 5 about this being entrusted unto the Lord, commended unto the Lord. I am the vine. I am the source of all of your salvation. I'm your spiritual life. I give you grace. It is because of me, He says, that the Father, He works in you and I with power. If the Father looks at Christ and unto Christ, and it's because of Him that He blesses us with spiritual power so that our deficiencies are subdued. Our deficiency is our flesh. And our temptation is the devil himself. And these spiritual forces are too strong for us. That's why me and you, we need God's help. And He's going to help us because of Christ Jesus as we continue in, as we remain in, as we abide in His love. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, he who believes in my love, and my sufficiency, and my gift of grace to supply all of your need. And it is true that the Lord provides for us physically. Is He gives us bread? Is He gives us houses? is He gives us ingenuity, strength, job, opportunity. The land here is extremely fertile. That's the gift of God. There are other places as to where the crops can't grow. Just up north. It's a desert. And so God is our provider physically. He's our provision maker. But He's even much more so spiritually. He gives us grace and the gift of faith. He gives us love and power over our sins. He gives us these things because of His grace that is in and through Christ Jesus. I was at a program, this was last week, it was the first of the month, and with Echo, I believe it was also here, that you had, it was a week of prayer and fasting. But I tried to remind the people that if we pray, and if we fast, what do we get from God but grace? It's still grace. It hasn't earned anything. If I'm in fornication, if I'm in adultery, if I'm a homosexual, and I come unto God, what do I get from God to overcome my sin? It's grace. It's grace the whole way through. And that's what our Lord Jesus means by, if you abide in me, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, that's how you walk with Him and in Him in thanksgiving. As you hold your place here, it's in the book of John, but let me quote you this. It is in Colossians 1, or chapter number 2, and verse number 6, is, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. At the beginning, it was of your Christian race and mine, as we came to Him as sinners for grace. He's telling us to abide in Him and remain in Him and keep on looking to unto our Savior for grace. As we talked about it from Ephesians 3 on Tuesday, let's try again. He told us in Ephesians 3 that the Holy Spirit, He works in us with power. How? How? How does the Holy Spirit work powerfully inside of us? It's in Ephesians 3. We looked at it on Tuesday. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being strengthened with His power, and you may know the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. If I want to live a holy life, and I do, I have to look at the love of Christ to supply all my needs.
to forgive me of my sins, make me accepted in the sight of God, and to give me the grace of holiness. As your pastor and I were, it was on the way home yesterday, and he reminded me of the verse that I had quoted here. Is, I don't know if he was here at the time I quoted it, but he that is forgiven much, he loves much. And if we want to stir up our church to love people and to carry the gospel into all of the world, we have to stir up their love by pointing them unto Jesus Christ, preaching Jesus Christ, and the enormity of the forgiveness of our sins. If our sins are small, is our love towards God is going to be small. If our sins are big and we know it and confess them and obtain mercy day by day, if even the slightest sin is a big sin in our eyes because it took the wrath of God to punish it and put it away in Christ Jesus, then His forgiveness, it will be big in our eyes and it will show forth spiritual power. I love the Son of God. So abide in Him. They took these men and women that they had preached to and said, I'm entrusting you into the Lord. Keep looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been beaten. He has been persecuted. He's leaving. He said that God is all you have in Christ Jesus. And He'll keep you and He'll bear the fruit. He who abides in me, John 15:5, and I in him, his word, his power, his gospel doctrine, his powerful Holy Spirit. What does he do? He bears much fruit. It's the people have been claiming or perhaps questioning if I'm preaching the whole counsel of God and good works. But I'm preaching it all the time. And you just can't hear me preaching on good works because you're hearing me preaching on the gospel. And that is good. But I want you to hear them both. He's saying you will bear good fruit as you keep your eyes on Christ. That is the only hope that you have. It's the only hope I have. It's the only way that I can be a loving person is to realize the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel focus of the Christian. For without me, you can do nothing. If your eyes aren't on me, if you're not trusting me, you can be religious. But it can't count for anything. If the love of God is not in your heart and it's working in power, all of our religion is vain. And that is the emptiness of dead religion. The emptiness of dead religion is it all works and it's no grace. People talk about grace, but it's work, 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 work. And you, and self is exalted, and self is exasperating itself, trying to live the Christian life, and it is drudgery, it is bondage, and it is no joy. That is the religion that I came out of
when God saved him. It's not about acceptance with God by what you do. It's acceptance with God by faith in His Son's blood. As I was thinking this morning over at my housing of how I came to Christ, I heard a man on the radio that was preaching on the blood of Christ with joy over and over and over. And I was in a small cult and I didn't know it. I thought I had all knowledge and I was on my way. I was working, I was trying hard. And I remember I had preached that Friday night. It was a conference, a camp meeting, and I did pretty well. I was encouraged with myself. I was satisfied with my performance. I'm on my way. But I wanted to hear about the blood of Christ previously. But after I had done so well, I didn't want to hear about it. I'm good enough. I'm sufficient. But the people who came unto me, they came unto my house and brought me out of my house. It was a rainy day. It was early in the morning. It was a 3-hour drive just to attend this conference. And I heard about the blood of Christ. I heard what's so precious about it. Here's what I heard. That we could do nothing. That our righteousness was filthy rags. And I had said that, my sister, 100 times, 1,000 times. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But here is what I was doing. I was taking what Christ did, plus my best effort, and I was putting them together for my acceptance with God. And as you know what that is sin. And so that is damnation. It can never make us acceptable unto God if it's not perfect. Right? As the scripture says, it's in the book of 1 John 1, verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, if I'm here preaching, if I'm praying, if I'm studying, if I'm fasting, if I'm doing the best that I can at any moment and say I have no sin, what does that make me? Oh, we deceive ourselves. Because we can't even fool God. We deceive ourselves. If I bring my best effort unto God, I deceive myself if I think that this is good enough for Him. And I cannot mix in Christ and correct it. Is I either have to have all of Christ or I'm on my own. Is you either come by Christ or you don't come at all. Because by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the law is the knowledge of sin. By what we do is not good enough. Acceptance is in the beloved Son. And that's what makes us to do those things that please God. I'm accepted, so I love Him. I'm accepted, and so I preach. I'm accepted, and so I pray.
And because of the blood of Christ, you will hear our prayer and fasting. But I'm not counting on my prayer and fasting to earn anything with God. I'm in the perfect standing and perfect righteousness of faith. Of Christ by faith. I have it all from the beginning of my Christian journey because I trusted in Christ in whom I have acceptance with God. And the Almighty says, abide in that. Abide in me. Stay there. And if my word, if my commandments, if my Holy Spirit are in you, if the things that I want for you to do are in you, you will bear much fruit. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I say I have no sin, if I say I'm good enough, Lord, I tried hard enough, I deceive myself and the truth is not in me. That is not actually walking in the light. I'm in the darkness. Oh, walking in the light is not doing the best you can for acceptance with God. And to walk in the light is to have full acceptance through the blood of His Son and to love each other because of it. If a husband's wife, if she's good to him, if she loves him, she cooks, she cleans, she serves him, and she respects him. If he has a regenerated heart, he's going to love her back. If he's only in the flesh, he might not love her and despise her and cheat on her and use her. But if he's a new creation, if he has a regenerated heart, love makes love happen. And as we see the love of Christ, as we stay there, as we are provided for, as me and you bring nothing unto the table, and He does it all. That is the relationship that He wants to be in with me and you. He wants to do it all and provide it all, day by day, step by step. It'll be grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. He will provide you and me with a holy life. He will provide us with good works. Our obedience, it will be full. It's the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. This is the theme song of the whole gospel. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. I have a couple of questions about if predestination, if election means that God looked at us and He saw what me and you would do and then He chose us. That is the opposite of predestination and election. God did not look at us. He looked at Christ Jesus and He chose us. He decided that He would have a people for Himself and He would give us eternal life for the glory of His own name. Grace starts in election. That's when He chose you and me freely, without cause in us. He did not look at us as being any better or any different than anybody else. Jacob and Esau, they were twins of the same womb. And before the children were born or had done anything good or evil, it was said, the elder shall serve the younger, that the purpose of God, according to election, not of works. He didn't look at Jacob and say, wow, he is so much better than Esau. I choose him. No. He looked at them as two equal sinners. And he chose one. And he let the other one choose to go to hell. And if he had not chosen us, then me and you would also choose to go to hell because we love our sins and we hate God. Our self-righteous nature, it would refuse God's gospel until the day that we die. But because of Christ's grace, He has chosen us. And in our salvation is the gift of good works and the gift of faith. He didn't choose us because of our good works. He chose us unto good works. That's what the text says. It's Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10, and I appreciate your attention. I am trying to speak crystal clearly and in the Lord's Spirit. It's Ephesians chapter 2, 8. For by grace, stay in there, stay with grace. He commended them unto the Lord. He said, stick with Christ's grace. Stick with Jesus Christ. How you started, keep going. You started just by looking unto Him. You trusted Him for salvation. Everything, it was of God. And nothing, it was of you. Because Christ said that without me, you can do nothing anyway. He has to provide everything. If I'll be good, He must do it. If I'll be holy, He must do it. I'm trusting Him. That's faith. Faith is not trusting self at all. Abraham could not have children with Sarah. Their bodies were unable. But it was only after. He's 100. And she's 90. And Ishmael is not accepted by God. That he and his wife, they realize by faith that even though me and you, honey, can't do anything to add unto this, God is going to do it. He's faithful. That's faith. And it gives glory unto God. And that's why they had that child. That's why it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith is going to produce good works. It's powerful through God. He uses it. It's something better than what I stir up. I can stir up an imitation. I can stir up something fake. I can stir up something that just acts religious. But God can give love and truth and power in the Spirit and joy everlasting. By grace you have been saved. There is no unsaving you. You have been saved through faith. That's how He saved you. And that faith, that salvation that includes faith is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Our faith is the gift of God. If we get that, we got it. Our faith is something that God gave us, and our good works, He predestined them, He ordained them, that me and you would be walking in the light of the counsel of God, in the gospel, in good works, in obedience. It's not something I gave Him first. It's something He gave me from everlasting and eternity. I will save him from his sin. I will make him holy. I'll make him obey me. I'll put a new law in his heart. I'll give him a new heart. I'll make him obey me. I'll make him serve me. That's God's gospel. That's grace. It's the gift of God. And when God saves, he makes you and I willing. I want it more than anything. Jacob had to have the blessing. He wanted it. He conspired. And then God revealed himself unto Jacob in the ladder. He got the blessing. He wanted it. Because God had to give it to him because he promised it in Christ Jesus. Verse number 9, not of works. How much more plain can the Bible be? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. If I've got anything to boast about, it's not the gospel. If it's anything that I did, it's not the gospel. If he did it, then he gets the glory, right? Verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, his creation. He made us a new creation in Christ Jesus for good works. You see what God's saying? I created you the first time, and you fell into sin. But I created you a second time. It's a new time in Christ Jesus, and because of Christ Jesus, and based upon his work on the cross, and based upon his love for you and my grace, I created you a new creation. I put it in your heart, a new creation, a new heart I gave you for good works. I made you somebody capable of good works. It's like you make a car so you can be driving in it. He made us to be holy and to walk with him. That's grace. That's the gift of God, which God... What does it say? He prepared beforehand that you should be walking in the good works that you're walking in right now. As you sit here to hear the gospel, as you come all this way, as you made a commitment, as you serve God in this place, God created you and prepared you before the foundation of the world that you and I would be doing the obedience that we're doing. So our obedience, it doesn't earn anything. It was earned at the cross. Our obedience has been given unto us by God. Right? It's by God. So I am preaching holiness, sir. But I'm preaching holiness by grace. And sometimes all the people hear is the grace, and they get a bit disturbed. But I found that's good, you're hearing something. But it's when you hear the whole thing, is you'll hear the whole counsel of God. The obedience and the good works and the service are included too. Let's go back in our text from Acts chapter number 20. It's for Acts chapter number 14. It is in the text. And I find that as I preach the text, as it leaps up unto me by the Holy Spirit, I always preach the whole counsel of God. If you just read this word, it will tell you everything in season. What I need to do to live the Christian life. But it will always help me to believe. It's always to believe. Acts chapter 14, verse number 23 is our text. So when they had appointed elders in every church. Now elders are important. They are important. Just because a man is to look unto God and not unto the elders does not mean that the elders are not important. The elders' job is to point the people unto Christ. They have an important role to lead in the church and the house of God. It's a gift that is important. My gift is important unto the church as I point them away from myself unto Christ. Unto Christ. That's an elder's job. The Apostle Paul, he told our brother Titus in chapter 1, verse number 5 of the book of Titus, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order. A church is supposed to be orderly. As your assistant pastor and I were passing, he was on the road, I was on his bike. As we looked over on the right hand side, and it was chaos. It was a religious meeting. But everybody was talking at the same time. There's some barking. They're flailing. They're going around and they're doing all these things. I don't blame Pentecostalism, but that's sin. That's sin. A church is to be set in order. You people are here listening. And then when I'm done, it's the next man speaks. If he's praying, I'm quiet. Let everything be done decently and in order. That's a church that's under the order of God, the Holy Spirit. Set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Elders are important. Pastors are important. And every church ought to have a pastor that is faithful. And he's known by his gifts and he's known by his spirit. As the Lord God says in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 23, after he talks about a woe unto the shepherds who destroy and who scatter the sheep of my pasture, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 1 through 4. Therefore says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and not attended unto them. If you haven't shown them Christ and you haven't fed them with knowledge of the word of God, and you did not commit them unto the Lord, but unto themselves and unto yourself. Is behold, as I will attend to you for the evil of your doing. The Almighty God takes care of his people. He delivers us from the bondage of false shepherds, says the Lord. But verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, where I have driven them in my anger and bring them back into their fold. I will bring them back unto Christ. I will bring them back unto safety. I will bring them back unto churches, unto the house of God. And they shall be fruitful and increase. They shall be fruitful in good works and increase and abound in faith and joy and hope. Verse 4. Here's how he does it. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more. They shall be accepted in the beloved Son and have the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse their conscience, and they will have joy instead of guilt and shame, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking. He's going to fill you up with your sufficiency in Christ. And from Jeremiah in chapter 3, in verse number 15, and I will give you shepherds, is the gift of God, according unto my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding of the gospel. The church of God is not a place that people have heard about grace and they stay home. Hear me clearly on this, and hear me carefully. The person who has heard grace is not lazy. He's not self-sufficient. He's not independent of the church. He is zealous of good works. He that is forgiven the much loves much. The first thing I did when God restored my soul, I had to get into the church and tell other people. Yes, I had to thank God and rejoice with God and enjoy God and to weep with God. Thank you. It was tears of joy. And they're still flowing. But the next thing I had to do was get with God's people. I couldn't miss. It was early on after I was restored and I had hurt my back and I wasn't able to walk. It was almost a week. And it was on Wednesday. And I remember I spoke with the Lord and I said, if I can put my socks on, I'm going to the midweek meeting. And I was able to get my socks on, but I made excuses and I laid back down in the bed. I couldn't have walked there, but I could have called a cab. And he rebuked me in my spirit because my purpose of being born again and our purpose of having the Holy Spirit and His joy is to tell others, is to help our brothers. It's to preach. It's to sweep floors. It's to give. It's to hug people. It's to share. It's to point other people unto Christ. That's a pastor's job. But that's the people's job too. And we get ourselves pastors who teach us and train us. And we are committed unto the house of God. More so than my own family. I have no wife and kids. But my mother, nobody is more important in this world than God's people. Nobody. Nobody. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to be shoulders with them. I'm going to work with them because that's God's purpose for His people. The family in the house of God. So people who have truly heard grace, they establish churches. And they preach grace. And they get pastors who are orderly and upright. And they have their failures, but they preach grace from their heart. Their heart. Let's go back in the text, please. It's the book of Acts in chapter 14, verse number 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting. Let me just speak a little bit more on the heart. I experience grace, so I preach grace. It's not just a doctrine that's in my head. It's something that's in my heart that gives me life. And then you preach. If it's small or if it's big, it's your preaching your life experience. Let me just... Second Corinthians in chapter 4, I'm still on this first point about a pastor, an elder. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13 is the key. Instead of promising our brothers and our sisters that we're going to have no trouble, that if we believe God and if we do right, if we're going to have no trouble, the opposite is true. He is going to give us trouble so that we, you and I, can have experience. The Apostle Paul said that because of the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me, and that by God, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan, to beat me and hurt me and anguish me and cause me pain. Because I knew so much about God in the gospel, I had to be humble lest I be lifted up in pride and made unusable. And so God is not going to take away our troubles. He's going to take away the troubles that our sins are causing us as He reduces our sins. But there's still going to be godly mourning. There's still going to be godly sorrow. And there will be other troubles. There will be persecutions and slander, the hatred of men. Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul, he was beaten, right? He was stoned. He was left for dead by the very same people he had preached to who had praised him. So that's a pastor and that's a church member. There is friendly fire. There are your friends who love you, who hurt you. And then there's outside fire and there's outside casualties of war. But these troubled saints, I'm pleading with you to understand me here. These troubles are for our good, to give us experience so we can speak the gospel from our heart instead of our head. And when I learned, and I'm just learning, but as I learned to preach only from here and not from here, that's when it came to come. It's experience. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, the apostle in this chapter is talking about being hard-pressed and crushed and perplexed and persecuted and struck down and always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 12, so then death is at work in us, these things are hurting us, they're killing us, they're painful, but life in you, how does life actually work in the people that the pastor's preaching to as he suffers? Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. If we also believe and therefore speak, it is not just head teaching. He is commending people unto the Lord because he's been commended unto the Lord himself. He is leaning on God himself. Now let's go back, please, to Acts chapter 14, verse number 23, as I want to have a look at this, and then I want to move on and to close this section. They prayed with fasting. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, it's the notion that because we are saved by grace, there is nothing for us to do is wrong. There is nothing for us to do in our acceptance with God, in our righteousness. But there's a lot for us to do, everything God says in his word, to walk with God and to make ourselves useful and to make him known. People say that prayer is useless because God predestinates people. Is that true? No. The predestination of God is actually worked out through our prayers. If you remember when Moses made intercession for Israel, he kept God from destroying those people. Because that's what God says. I'm going to kill them all and I'll make you a new people. And he is a true pastor. I don't want anybody else, Lord. These are your people. This is who I love. That's a pastor's heart. He loves his people. And he'll die for his sheep. But that plan of God, it was never to destroy those people. It's the plan of God is to get angry at their sin and to tell Moses, I'm going to destroy them so that Moses might pray. And so our prayers are part of God's predestined plan. And this ought to encourage us. That the things he plans to give me and you, he gives them through prayer. He plans to make faithful churches. And so he gives us men to preach the gospel who we pray for with fasting. He plans to make us holy, and so he gives us prayer so that me and you can ask him. You see it? It's the book of John, chapter number 15. It isn't us doing it, but it's us doing it through prayer. It's John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, you keep looking at my love and my words abide in you, my commandments, the things I want you to do, my gospel. If it's in you, if it abides in you, you will ask what you desire. And that's God's words. That's what he tells me. I want to do it. And it shall be done for you. You see it? If you abide in my love and my words the things that I command you to ordain elders in every church and to be orderly and upright in your character. If that's in you, then you're going to ask me and I'm going to do it. And you're going to bear much fruit. So prayer and fasting, these things, if they go hand in hand with predestination. That's good. Prayer is, I need it. And fasting is, I really need it. Prayer is, I'm leaning on God. And fasting is, I'm leaning on God desperately. I can't fast if I'm happy, because I already have it. If at least I haven't tried it yet. That's what the master said. If the bridegroom is here, you don't fast. Is you fast if your soul is in need. And these people, with prayer and fasting, are pleading with God, make these men faithful, just like Paul and just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Make them able to follow his example and teach us the gospel, because this is our only hope. And there's so much persecution. They had just stoned Paul and left him for dead. And these people are going to meet and gather as a church in that hostile environment. And they're praying, God, speak into my heart. Speak unto my brothers through this faithful man that you have established. Help him and make him able to feed us. Make sure that this church has a faithful pastor. As you said that you would establish shepherds over your flock. Oh Lord God, you feed us through this man. He can't do it himself. He can't beat the devil himself. He can't overcome sin himself. He's helpless. Lord God, help this man. That's our attitude towards our pastors. They're not superheroes. They are the weakest man in the building, in themselves. And they're leaning on God. Right? And the reason that Paul could say, I'm entrusting you to God, sister, is because he's entrusting his own soul unto God. He had just been stoned, and he got up and came back into the same place and told them that through much tribulation, that's how we enter into the kingdom of God. This is tough. This is a struggle. This is not easy. The devil is after you. He's never going to stop. And many are going to fall away. God, keep these people. And you keep trusting Christ. After I'm gone, you keep trusting Christ. You trust this message. You never let it go. Don't let it slip. Don't go backward. Don't draw back. There's nothing else but Jesus Christ. He's all the hope. It was desperate, but it was confident. It's with prayer and fasting, but it's commending, it's trusting in the Lord. That's our life as Christians. Absolutely nothing but trusting Him for everything. In ourselves, we're overwhelmed, but in our God, we're confident and bold. Oh, the more I realize I can do nothing, the stronger I am. You hear that? The more I realize I can do nothing, the stronger I am. Anybody understand why? Depending on God. I quit even looking in the sewer of myself. I quit expecting anything out of myself. I know I can do nothing. But that's when we begin to lean on God, our hope, who loves us because of Jesus Christ, whose grace is full and faithful, who will not let us down. That's the gospel. And the power of the Holy Ghost is to experience it by faith. That's the gospel. I believe it. And you believe it, put your trust in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and then we'll have some time for a couple of questions. As our Father, we thank you for helping us to see Christ. All the works are done by you and ordained. They are ordained by your grace for us from the foundation of the world. So we can't brag and boast in anything that we're doing. It's all you, because of you. It's been given unto us. And we thank you for it. And we ask you to do more for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, exceeding more abundantly than we can ask or think. Amen. Thank you, saints. Is there any question right now?